Hello. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talk Line, November 3rd. This is Diane McGachran. I've been out for a couple of weeks, but I'm back. And Peter is not here, but instead we have sitting in.
I'm Grady Deaton, and I'm always happy to jump in whenever I'm needed.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you. I'm so glad you're here, Grady. We have a lot going on in the next week or so. We have elections on November 6th. I hope everyone is prepared to go and vote. And if you want to call in and talk about your vote, you're welcome to do that, because you're welcome to talk about anything you want.
I wonder if there's anything else that people might talk about. You know, the last three talk lines, the heated discussion has been all about ballot measure one and the vote. And I know that that's a big deal, and we'll have plenty of callers about that. But I'm wondering if there's something light we might be able to get people to call in and talk about too, to balance it out.
Okay.
I don't know.
I've
been trying to come up with something in my head all day, because we didn't know if you were here until last minute as well. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, to John Nick's on the phone. Let's go to him. He's
okay.
Saving the day.
Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line. Yes, here we are.
Long time no call in here.
Well, I haven't been on air either myself for two
weeks. Oh, we got to take a break every so often, you know. Here, mine's de-scrambulated.
Yes. Scrambling.
Now it's getting a little cool after people are, you know, the ice is starting to show in the river.
Oh.
Some people are probably still going out monocling, ice fishing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the hardcore one that where to go. Please, when you're out there, wear your life jacket and let people know where you're going when you go monocling at nighttime. And just to be on the safe side, you know. It's so cold now, you never know when the motor might seize. Best thing to do during this time of the year, when you're out there boating, don't pull your motor out of the water.
Oh,
it's better you leave it inside the water, because it's the water temperature a little warmer than outside air. The air will freeze it, whereas the water's so dense, it'll keep it from icing over, you know.
Oh, well, that's a good trick.
I learned that a long time ago, too. A lot of people probably know it. Some probably forget and idle their motor up, especially leaving the water, you know. That way you know it's going to turn over and surf. I want to talk about elections. Elections is coming up on the 6th.
Yes.
So everyone, please see if you're registered. And if you're not registered, please go over there and register and vote, and let your vote count. And as for the translators, I want to speak highly of them. I was one of them also, but I won't be doing it this election, because for medical, my knee and stuff. Anyway, I want everyone to know that the translators do the best job they can, and they work with the public, and I want to praise all the translators for all the years of being translators for the voting system. You've done your civil duty and beyond. Even if it was in question, you know. And I want to say thank you.
Okay.
And everyone here, please wear your life jacket if you're going out boating, like I was saying, when you're going out monocling. Let people know where you're going, and have adequate light supply on your boat, you know, in case others might not see you. Be on the safe side. Just use your common sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in the mornings now,
it's a little loud there.
In the morning, it's getting dark out there. You watch the kids, too. The pedestrians go to school early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's real slippery out there, you know, kind of slick. So drive with caution. And please don't drink and drive, and everyone have a safe weekend.
Okay. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Everyone have a good one.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we have on the line Mark Begich from Juneau. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to Talk Line.
Well, good morning. I'm down in Juneau today. I just arrived here, and I wanted to call in to remind people, don't forget, I know they're talking about it, but the election is next Tuesday, and it's important that people get out and vote, and remember that Governor Walker has withdrawn from the campaign. His name will be on the ballot, but he's not a candidate any longer, and I just wanted to remind people that it's an important election, and rural Alaska can, I believe, determine who the next governor will be. So turnout is important, and let's do better than the primary, which only had 18% of the people turning out.
So
we can,
right.
I know we can do better as Alaskans.
Sure.
And that's why I was calling.
Yeah, good, good. And do you have a lot of campaigning left to do? Or when,
hell yes.
You must be doing a lot of last-minute stuff like calling Talk Line and other kinds of things.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Well, reminding, you know, remind people to vote is first. Second is always reminded that they'll see Governor Walker's name on the ballot, but he's not a candidate, so make sure they don't throw that vote away. But third, I'm calling a lot of people. Last night I had one of the few debates we were able to have with Mike Dunleavy. He had a lot of good discussion. I allowed debate over the permanent fund dividend, making sure people understand that that needs to be constitutionally protected, something I want to do so it's in the hands of the people and make it sustainable so we don't lose it over the years to come. But, yeah, after that debate last night, which ended around 7, I had three more events. Didn't finish till 10:30 or so. And now on a plane all day Juneau and Fairbanks.
And
back
wow.
to South Central. My running mate Deborah Call will be traveling. She just got back from Bethel. But
she did,
traveling,
yeah. Nice visit.
Oh, good. And so Deborah Call will be traveling all the places I'm not traveling, so we don't duplicate. And so she's spending a lot of time in other locations. But, yeah, the next 5 days will be every hour talking and meeting voters and making sure we answer their questions. So it's a heavy schedule.
You're going to have to use those special techniques that singers use to protect your voice because I'm hearing it. You have been campaigning hard.
I was at an event and someone came up to me and said, look, I'm a throat specialist. Here's what you need to do.
Exactly. Well, if I could impose...
I'll work on it.
Yeah. If I could impose one thing, if you don't mind me asking...
Sure.
Can I ask one question? I'll just ask one question. Because some people were...
You can ask whatever you want.
People were asking me about this, because the permanent fund, you know, that's... People are that's really important. But people were then asking, well, then what are we going to do? How do we raise money if we're not taking it out of the PFD? And so do you ever think about a state income tax? What are your thoughts
on that? Well, first question, I think your question is really good, and that is how do you create the right balance? That's why I think the Mike Dunleavy approach is very reckless, it's dangerous, and it's kind of a gimmick to buy votes. Mine creates a much more stable process. So over the next many generations, that dividend is there, but also puts aside money to fund education instead of through the general fund. It funds it through some of the earnings, and it's constitutionally protected. So we have the right flow. And then last, you ask the question if there's a gap. If there's ever a gap, and there will be, you have to fill it somehow. And one of the things that are talked about is income tax or sales tax. And the two things I will not do is a wage tax, which is just taxing wages, not earnings and so forth. But second is a gas tax. And I won't support that because that has a negative impact, especially in rural Alaska, where we already have the highest gasoline prices. It's also very aggressive. But you need to carefully balance it. That's what I've put on the table versus my opponent, who just wants to throw a big check out there and hope everyone likes it this year. And then about 4 or 5 years from now, there's not going to be any more checks. So mine's much more stable. And mm-hmm. Here's the other piece I'll just throw out. $2 billion of wages are earned by people who do not live in the state. They come here, they take our jobs, take our money, take our wages, and they leave. And those are folks that need to pony up because we're paying their bills. And that's part of my strategy to make sure everyone participates, but especially these folks mm-hmm. that are extracting jobs and wages from Alaskans.
And you know, thank you. That's very clear. And and I think, like, in rural Alaska, even if there was a state income tax, a lot of rural communities would not be hit very hard by a state income tax.
That's right.
And there's already so much.
Scale.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. Well, thank you. Your running mate is on the next call there. So it's back to back.
She just called in.
I see her on the board there.
Great. She's calling from somewhere. Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much. And hopefully that's clear. And the most important thing is people exercise your right to vote. It is what makes the difference in our great state here. And if they have any more questions on my position, they go to baggage.com. Both Deborah and I are on there, and you can see what we stand for. But the dividend must be protected and out of the hands of these guys in Juneau and the politicians.
Thank you. Okay. Awesome.
Great. Have a great day.
Good luck.
All right. So that was Mark Begich, who's running for governor against Mike Dunleavy. and you can vote on November 6th. And remember, Walker has dropped out. You will see his name on the ballot, but it will be a wasted vote because he is not actually running any longer. But the ballots were printed before he had announced his leaving. So our next caller is Deborah Call, calling from Anchorage, and she is running. She is Mark Begich's running mate for lieutenant governor. Good morning, Deborah. Welcome to Talkline.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being here. And we're a little bit freezing in here in Anchorage, and I just got back from Fort Yukon yesterday. Oh, and wow. Guess what? It's warmer in Fort Yukon than it is here in Anchorage.
So weird. I know. So how was your Bethel visit? You were here recently, right?
Yes, I was there about, gosh, I'm losing track of my days since we've been traveling so much, but I think it was about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Had a phenomenal visit. Mm-hmm. Got a chance to visit certainly the city council, as well as have Perry Barr, who was a retired state trooper, take me around to
Good.
The different agencies in Bethel. It was phenomenal.
Oh,
it
nice.
Was great. And I got a chance to meet some great people that are doing some wonderful things in the area. And it was an extraordinary visit.
Now, Deborah, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay. So would you mind for our listeners, and we cover like the whole YK Delta and beyond, as we like to say. Mm-hmm. Would you just give us a snapshot of what a lieutenant governor does?
Well, a lieutenant governor, obviously, steps into the position should heaven forbid anything happens to the governor. But we also, more specifically, oversee the elections process, as well as the division of elections. And we also take on special projects. And one of those projects and seats that we have is one on the Alaska Jobs Training Council. And that's a personal passion of mine. I've done that for several years, actually probably almost 10 years in my work history. And workforce development is something I'm very passionate about. So that time period when I served as chair of the Jobs Training Council, it was the best. I really enjoyed working with the state as well as with private sector employers and with the educational institutions around the state, Aztec, as well as the University of Alaska. We did a lot of great projects in terms of process development, which would be the APIC process, Alaska Process Industry Careers Consortium. And then we also looked at combining like agencies that support workforce development, such as the unemployment office with the office that would provide information on training as well as information on potential jobs. So we looked to actually have one-stop center statewide when I was chair at that time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, I think some people were wondering about that too, so I thought I would ask. So what is there anything particular that stands out that you'd like people to know or be thinking about in the last few days toward the voting on Tuesday?
Sure. Well, I was born in Palmer, so I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I went outside to get my education, got an MBA, came back to Alaska and worked in rural economic development with an organization called CEDC, Community Enterprise Development Corporation.
Uh-huh.
And we did a number of projects throughout the state. So I'm very familiar with rural Alaska, as well as working in the oil and gas industry, particularly in workforce development with Peak Oil Field Service Company, as well as Alyeska Pipeline. And most recently, I worked at the Alaska Native Heritage Center, where I retired, and worked with youth so they learn their culture and learn their language, as well as learn all about their history. So I have a varied background, but very specifically to Alaska, and I feel very fortunate, and I feel I'm very qualified, you know, to serve in a leadership role within the state, because I've been in all parts of the state. And in particular, one of the things that I am most particularly passionate about is I am part of the executive team with our tribe. I'm vice president, and my tribe is Kinnick Tribal Council, and my mother was born in Kinnick, which is just outside of Wasilla, and my grandmother fished from the beaches of Kissimmee before there was a joint base Elmendorf-Fort Richardson.
Oh, wow.
So we have a long history here, and I've been here all my life. My dad worked in the Akutna Tunnel Project that brought water to Anchorage, as well as it was a school bus driver in Palmer. So this is our home, and my goal is to take care of our home, take care of our people, and look at a long-term vision and be positive about it. My goodness, we've been a resilient group of people for years and years and years, and this is the reason why I feel so comfortable being on the baggage ticket as running for lieutenant governor, because we share a very common vision. We're a strong people, and we come up with ideas, and we do well in the future because we are so creative. And I'm talking about rural and urban Alaska. So I think we've got a strong ticket, and I'm looking forward to the election results on November 6th.
Okay, good. Well, thank you. I'm so glad you called, and I'm glad you had a great visit here to Bethel, and good luck next week.
Thank you very much. All appreciate right. the time.
Thank you. Have a good day. All right. So those were two leading candidates for governor calling in. Maybe Mike Dunleavy will call in.
I hope. One can only hope.
We'll give out the numbers here in a minute, but Alex Nick is on the line, so we're going to go ahead and hear what he has to say. Good morning, Alex. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Diane, and I didn't catch the
Grady.
Other person.
Yeah, Grady's in today.
Oh, okay, Grady. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thank you for taking my call. You know, this is one of the times that I wish I was a very efficient speaker and knows a lot about legal things, but I'm going to try my best. Last few weeks, I have been talking about the Ballot Measure 1 initiative, and I'm glad that, you mentioned that someone is going to be talking a little bit about it. As I've mentioned during the the hearing held here by then Lieutenant Governor Byron Malott in Bethel, I stated that I don't support the ballot measure one because the fact that I don't understand it. There are too many legal loopholes that I, the way I would put it, in the measure. And some of the things that I would like to mention, I'm going to try to go quickly as possible here. I am going to mention that there are, if not many, some people out there listening and living elsewhere who are silent leaders, the way I would put it, in Alaska. They don't go forward and say something about issues like this until they see something that might go wrong somewhere down the line. And ballot measure one was introduced in wrong timing, in my personal opinion. It was introduced and explained and pushed forward during the election year. And people don't have enough time to ask for more hearing and more explanation of what it is all about. There are several things that makes me worried, because even though I don't know too much about legal stuff, I need to know what they mean by standards. Standards in the text of ballot measure one. Is it legal standard or is it ethical standard that they're talking about? And I also need to know things about permitting system that the ADF and G will be coming up to satisfy what's needed to meet the law, the new laws, if it passes. And what makes me worried is that it's going to apply to many people, according to the text. And I also need to know what they mean by certain activities, because activities could also be defined as a legal activity. So these things, in my personal opinion, are going to be making a lot of people disappointed down the road, after new regulations and new standards are established based on the new amendment. I say, okay, I'll just shut up and listen.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think, Alex, also that a lot of people probably have some confusion about the ballot measure. Those ballot measures tend to be written in a way that are hard for people to follow. And one thing you can do if you want to try to get some more information before Tuesday, you can go to standforsalmon.org if you have internet. And there's a, that their website lays everything out, the myths around it, the facts, the ballot measure. And maybe you would get some explanation there for your questions.
I already decided how I'm going to vote.
Oh, okay.
And
well, oh,
I am not
okay.
going to tell anyone. I am not going to tell anyone how to vote.
Oh no, I know.
I would rather be wrong rather than saying that I'm right, and then down the road realize that I am. I should have gone the other way.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I also am not blind about political things too. So.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Thank you, Alex, for calling. All right. Next, we have Kathy from Bethel. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. All things elections. So
3 days
it
away.
Yeah. And I want to let people know that once again, Cusco Cab is stepping up to the plate in an effort to encourage people to vote. They're going to offer free cab rides to and from the polls. That's Cusco Cab, not any other cab company. But you call them at 543-2169 and say, I want to go vote. They'll pick you up, take you to the polls, and when you come out with your I voted sticker, they'll give you a ride back free of
charge.
That's
just great.
I know.
That is really great.
I just wonder how many places in the country there's a cab company that'll do that.
I know, right. That's good. I know.
And when Naeem has been asked to do this the last two elections, he never asks, well, who is this for? Who's the group or what's the issue that you're trying to push? Mm-hmm. He said, I don't care. I just want people to vote.
Okay, good. Wow, that's a
yes.
great way to look at it. I'm glad he's got that attitude.
Yes. So everybody spread the word and call Cusco Cab when you want to go vote. No
okay.
excuses.
Well, thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that's a great service. So you can call Cusco Cab on Tuesday and they will take you to vote. They'll wait for you while you vote. And when you come out, they will take you back home, and that number is 543-2169. All right, we have an anonymous caller from Upriver. Good morning, Anonymous. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah, good morning. You're talking about voting. Yesterday in a debate between Bigots and Dunleavy, you could see the big difference. I'm telling people to please vote for Dunleavy. He want to give us back our dividends, it'd be about $6,700. You want to give us back our dividend plus the money that they were holding back. But even that moderator, he said it'll be good. People can buy store machines and boat and motor to go hunt and fish. So, but Mark Begich, like, he want to have income tax and sales tax, and we don't need that right now. So, when you go vote, remember what they said in the debate, and also Darren Deacon, he'll give us back our dividend too, because that other person he's running against, Tiffany, first he voted to give us back, and then they talk to her, then they make her change her mind, because we need it more than the big government. So remember that when you go vote. Vote for these people, push back our dividend, mm-hmm. and be careful about voting yes on that Stand for Salmon. Read it. If you see somebody driving boat or the fish pond, you know, and you don't report it, they'll fine you. Even you're not guilty, they'll fine you. it sounds good, but it's because, you know, they open ANWR and they'll be getting more oil. They find a way to close it again by passing this. It'll hurt our hunting and fishing. So tell your family and friends when they go vote, think of our people and what these new laws will hurt us even more. And vote for Mike Dunleavy and Darren Deacon. They care about us. They're not for big government more money. That Mark, he say, because of low oil prices, the oil is $80 a barrel, and they're opening ANWR and new places, going to be even more money. And it's not our fault that it's going to cost that much for that return or dividend. Who took it away in the first place? It rightfully belonged to us. So you tell your family and friends, if you want your dividend return, $6,700, vote for the right people. And really think about that Stanford Sam. It sounds good because a lot of the outside people, environmentalists, they go too far. Too many new laws and stuff. Nobody should tell us we can't go in our spot and go to hunt and fish. Okay, remember that. Tell your family and friends, vote for Darren Deacon. And vote for Mike Dunleavy. They care about us. Mm-hmm. Say bye.
Okay. All right, thank you. Well, I want to clarify one thing. Now, Mark Begich did not say he was going to have a sales tax. So I just want to clarify that. And also, there's nothing in Stand for Salmon that would allow fining of people who are out setting their nets and doing subsistence fishing. So that I'm not saying how to vote, but just want to clarify those two things.
I've been digesting it a little bit, and there's even careful wording to limit the impact it'll have on projects which do not have impact on the fish that lay eggs. So there's even protections within the measure to make sure that even projects which won't have impact on these fish won't be impacted. So I'm sure the fishermen won't be impacted either.
No, and they also, if there are projects going on right now, those projects will not be impacted by this ballot measure. These are for future projects, and it's to update. Well, anyway, you can go to standforsalmon.org if you want to learn more about the ballot initiative. And it looks like we have an anonymous caller from Anchorage. Good morning, Anonymous. Welcome to Talkline.
That they would say, I come not anonymous, but this is Stella. I'm calling from Anchorage.
Okay.
Anyways, hi, good morning. I wanted to talk about, I wish people did not have to vote for the alcohol liquor store to be open. I know they make a really huge mistake, and seriously, do they want to lose any more family members? Is alcohol really important than family? No, it's not important. All it does is just cause a lot of death, a lot of violence. I know there's some people that are neglecting their kids. I know I used to be, but not anymore. I'm so glad that I don't drink alcohol no more. I don't want to be that kind of... I'm glad that I'm not that kind of person anymore.
Nice.
And it was also, ever since I lost my friend that September, I know there's other people that were friends with her. I don't know, I was really heartbroken because I know I really, when I saw her, I talked to her and told her how much I really care and told her that her baby is more important than alcohol. I know. I've been encouraging people, but some people don't listen, and that really hurt me.
Oh.
But anyways, Yeah, I wish people didn't have to vote for that liquor store to be open. It's going to be a big chaos in Bethel, and it's going to be a really big chaos all over again and about it. That's and everything.
Well, one thing that's really nice is your calling and, you know, being honest about your own history, but also how you encourage others and how you're keeping yourself more healthy now. And you've did that even though there were, there was alcohol around, and yet you still found a path out, and I'm really glad for that.
Yeah, me and my husband, I wish I didn't, wasn't involved in no alcohol in the first place, because I know I've seen a lot of bad things, but I know I do forgive him, Tony Von Juna.
Oh, okay. You might not should have said the name there.
Sorry, it's okay, but he probably knows.
Well, yeah, but just without saying his name.
But yeah, it's snowy here in Anchorage. It's beautiful. It's cold out, and I also want to thank everybody out there for praying for my mom, because we almost nearly lost her last month because she had pneumonia. But yeah, my mom is doing more better. She pulled this one off, and she's still in the hospital. But I'm so grateful that I still have a mom. Mm. And I know my birthday is coming next week on Tuesday, and I'm just going to have a... I'll be happy to have a good sober birthday.
Nice.
Happy birthday.
Are you going to have a... What's your favorite cake to have at your birthday?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure.
I know.
I'm not sure. Anything. I mean, it doesn't matter because, oh, gosh, I've been making my... How many years in a row? Nobody never made the cake for me, so... I end up making my own birthday cake.
That's okay, because you'll make it just how you like it.
I have a wish for you to segue off. Your time's up, but I wish that you live as long as you want and are free from want as long as you live. Anonymous from Anchorage.
All right.
Thank
but
you.
But anyways, also one more shout out is to all the Packers fans everywhere. I know we got the game this coming Sunday against the Patriots.
Okay. Oh. Wait. Okay. I like the Patriots because I'm from New England. So.
Yeah, New Englanders are here again.
Oh, no.
Well, I hope that you enjoy the game.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy birthday. Okay. We have another caller from the Tundra. Anonymous, welcome to the call. Welcome to the show.
Hello, good morning. A warm good morning on a chilly day.
Mm. Yes. What's on your mind?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Donald and Gold, Pebble Mine, and all the candidates that are running to be elected. In their ads or when asked, all the candidates opposed Pebble Mine because it's been opposed by Alaskans and outside interest groups. That's a big industry area. And they oppose it because it's not going through. When asked about Donlin Gold, they're in limbo. Mm-hmm. They say they don't know. They don't know yet because it's still in question and the permit process is going through. So, all I want to say is a mine is a mine. There's environmental impacts, there's economical impacts, and they should be they shouldn't be indifferent about the location. It does the same damage.
I wonder if it's possible for a politician to know that within Donlin's case, the permitting is happening. We have agencies and we have procedures and protocol for approving mines. So a politician could still be against the mine with the understanding that the mine is probably going to happen. Donlin's probably, you know, they're well into their permitting process now. But, yeah, there just seems to be a contradiction between being against Pebble but supporting Donlin or being in limbo about Donlin, which is just as it's the same kind of mining situation, so similar.
Yes, and no matter what they stand for, they're seeking our vote so they could represent us.
Uh-huh.
And we as a people, I think there's a majority that oppose if something disastrous is going to happen, that we oppose that. And we they should be representing us, not going on their own opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all those that are in question voting yes or no on Proposition 1, vote no, because this proposition could be brought back up again and give everybody else more time to go through the nitty-gritty and the details.
You mean vote no for another time? Like vote no so that it can come back in another election cycle so people would have more time to understand it? That's a
real a lot of people still don't understand the truth or consequences about this proposition.
Mm-hmm.
What will really happen? So I think it needs more time, this proposition.
What would be one of your worries about it?
Well, will it affect my subsistence lifestyle?
It won't. There's nothing in it to affect that.
Yeah, that's what I understand. But there's a lot of loopholes and there's a lot of little avenues and that they could take and do what they want. But yeah, that's my opinion. But good morning to everybody. Have a nice day and enjoy the weekend. Have a safe weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, so there's a lot of misunderstandings about Stand for Salmon. It really, my understanding is it's to really secure subsistence because it's securing fish and their habitat, which is directly linked to people's lives, especially out here and in other places where subsistence life is life.
Right,
itself.
As I understand it, I'm trying to digest it too, but as I get to understand it more, I'm gathering that the proponents of the measure, the people that put the measure forward, looked at existing environmental regulations related to salmon and other fish that lay eggs in rivers.
Yeah.
And saw that they hadn't been updated for such a long time.
Since 1959.
And that they were so limited in scope that they allowed for so many chances for destruction of habitat that it needed to be revisited. And then in the creation of the ballot measure, we're careful to not create too many barriers for existing projects or projects which don't directly affect androgynous fish.
Right.
Like
those won't
be
affected.
Specifically about securing the habitats of the salmon. Now, it is a lot to wade through. And, you know, it was a lot to write. And I guess that last caller's comment is interesting. But, before we get off to this deal, let's make sure that people know the numbers. 543-5985 or 543-2756.
Okay, so we have a couple callers waiting. One is Elise Gavin from Anchorage. She's running for Congress, and she is running against Don Young. Good morning, Elise. Welcome to Talkline.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm glad you called. So tell us how things going. You have a few more days left.
Yep,
home stretch.
We're in the home stretch. We have 4 days left, and I've made it a goal of mine to make sure that I am engaging voters in all 40 districts. And so I'm so grateful to have this chance to chat with voters on at KS because it's giving me an opportunity to hear from you. I'd love to know. It sounds like you guys have been talking about Prop 1.
Yes.
And I imagine you've also been thinking about other issues that are. I've been reading up about what's happening with regard to job development. I'm excited to learn about what's happening with the shortage of aircraft mechanics and how there's a new training program happening there. That's exciting.
It is at Ute. Yes, that's going to be a really great program. Yeah,
I did get to visit Ute when I was there both times, actually, and I appreciate all of the work that's happening there, not just in that area, but mm-hmm. also in terms of aircraft mechanics, but they're also doing some great work for growing our own healthcare providers.
Yep, that's right, yeah.
Really and wonderful. Mm-hmm.
So what are your ideas about Prop 1, the Stand for Salmon ballot measure?
That's a state issue, as you know, and I'm running for a federal office. I think it's inappropriate for me to tell voters how to vote on a ballot where I'm on the very same ballot. But I have been talking about salmon habitat and how important salmon is to our way of life. That's certainly something I'm happy to share with you so that you know what my values are.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go to Bethel, for example, in June when I was excited to see the fish camps. And Bev Hoffman and her husband brought me up and down river. I got to go to Queeslick and Napaskiak. And unfortunately, there were two salmon counted that day by NOAA. And I just felt like instead of seeing fish camps, I was looking at ghost towns. And so I am very concerned about the habitat and what it is that's causing this concern. And I appreciate your going over the history of our management and also what our legislation has looked like over the years. And I think that we used to have something called coastal management program. We were coastal states involved with this, and now we're the only coastal state who has withdrawn from that. And I think that the Alaska Coastal Management Program was a very important systemic way of bringing everyone to the table when any sort of infrastructure was being discussed. And it was important to have that process by which we had local input and experts who were the scientists at the table and those who cared about mm-hmm. their community. I think we need to bring that back right away, in fact, yesterday, and I will work hard to make sure that we have the resources to bring Alaska back and participating in that program.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you kind of corrected me a little bit in terms of a state issue versus representation in the federal government. So why don't you want to say something about what do you think would be the key work that you would do in Washington, and maybe what kind of committee might you hope to join if you were to win?
Yeah, so there are a couple of committees I'd like to be on, and likely I would be in the majority. I'm not sure if you're following all of the politics throughout the nation, but it looks like it'd be very likely I'd be in the majority.
Yeah.
And that would give me a little bit more of an edge to have a voice for Alaska in these committees. So one, it would be natural resources. I think it's important that we have a balanced voice there who's looking at the importance of economic development and ensuring that we have responsible development when there is development. So I look forward to being a part of that, and I also look forward to participating in the Energy and Commerce Committee, which would be one avenue where we would ensure that there is a voice at the table in a subcommittee with regard to health care.
Mm-hmm.
Our losing our health care in Medicaid expansion would be draconian for Alaska, particularly in our rural hospitals, mm-hmm. Many of whom are on a very tight cash flow. The last time I was visiting in with Cordova, they had a 10-day cash flow due to their desperate need for Medicaid repayments coming back in. So that's a big concern of mine. And, of course, as we know, small business and others are really strangled right now because of the health care costs. So I look forward to making a difference there for Alaskans. And so those are the two primary committees. I would look for other subcommittees. I also feel that it's important that we have a place at the table in something called the Problem Solvers Caucus, where they take one Democrat and one Republican at a time, and then allow the conversation to start with what do we have in common that we want to solve. And I think that we need to get more to those sorts of conversations in general.
Yeah.
So that we're solving things and having the hard dialogues. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that some of it's difficult, but it doesn't mean we shy away from it and auger into our corners. I think it means that we come to the table and respectfully get to solutions. That's what we've been hired for once we get into position. And I think we've been avoiding that far too long. And I look forward to bringing that civil voice there.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. And you have a big 4 days ahead of you, I'm sure. Are you doing a lot more traveling in the state, or you have more to go?
I will be. We're going to fly into Fairbanks and Juneau and then do as much of the road system as we can in the next 4 days.
Yep. Okay.
Like I said, all 40 districts are going to be touched in with. And I want to remind everyone to vote. Whatever you do, take the extra 10 minutes to get in. This is our time to have our power in, and we have such an unusual opportunity this year. There's never been a congressional candidate who's an independent running head-to-head with Don Young, and I'm just so honored to be in this place because for the first time, I think, ever also, we have a candidate who's neck and neck. I'm that close because of the people who have been a part of this movement. I have more than 1,200 now volunteers who have been a part of this. And if you get phone calls from Bethel, it's because their people in Bethel are reaching out to everybody to remind them that this is our chance to bring government back to the people. I'm not taking a dime from corporate PACs. And if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. I'll leave you with my number. It's 231-5556. We're doing this differently where everybody can call and talk to me and ask me questions or tell me what you need me to know in order to best represent. Mm-hmm. And again, I'd be so honored to earn your vote. Okay. Thanks. This is Elise Galvin for Congress.
Okay. Thank you, Elise, for calling
you
in.
You bet. Thank you. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Well, that's just terrific. So we've had three candidates call in. Begich, Deborah Call, Elise Galvin. Yeah. I think they're all Democrats at this point, but welcome independents, welcome Republicans to call in if you're running. And
if they did, they'd call in 1-800-995-8954.
Or 543-5985. All right, we have another caller waiting, Susan from Bethel. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hi, I'm not running for anything.
Oh, okay. Good.
That gentleman that called earlier brought up a good point. Why did Bristol Bay and Pebble Mine get more attention of being shut down than Donlin Gold and the Kuskokwim location? And I really think it's politics and money, because Bristol Bay, it's more developed with the ocean commercial fishing, and also the tourism is more developed, and the tourism fishing is more developed. It's just more attention and money and revenues and people donating to that cause of fighting it. And where we're at with the Donlin Gold location and the Kuskokwim River is we're the largest subsistence-dependent resource, subsistence, lifestyle, the traditional food gathering. And that's not a money thing that brings attention to Juneau or D.C. or whatever. So I really think that that's what the deal is. And to me, subsistence is life, it's food, it's traditional, it's culture. And it's just as important, maybe more important. And as so I really think that that's what happened. I mean, Donlin Gold is full speed ahead, and Pebble Mine is just a thought now. And I think as far as his idea of waiting a year, left for the next election rounds. Timing's not on our side here. Now's the time to vote on this. And as far as his concern that it might affect subsistence fishing, it's protecting subsistence lifestyle. It's protecting subsistence fishing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea behind writing this whole thing up and the wording of it, too. It's protecting subsistence fishing, and waiting a year is going to it's gonna hurt us.
And okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
Also, I want to appreciate Cusco Cab for bringing the voters. Last elections last month, I was volunteering with this VFW auxiliary project of recognizing vets that give us the freedom to vote. And I noticed some of the cab drivers were confused. They were asking the volunteers for vouchers. So I hope the Cusco Cab gets their drivers caught up in how to do this. I didn't know what to tell the drivers that asked us for vouchers. I said, talk to your Cusco Cab boss. That's all I could tell them, because we didn't give vouchers. That was some kind of system they had already, where I guess they drop off the person and they get a voucher to come back to home or wherever. But I just want to, I hope they work the bugs out of it. Their intent is good, and I think it's awesome that they're driving people to the polls. I've read of other locations in the lower 48 where the closest poll was a mile from a bus stop, and that was it. And I hope other around the nation people do this, because everyone should be able to vote. And some of these are barriers. Out in the States, there's all kinds of nasty games played on potential voters, forcing them to have a – well, they had one yesterday I was seeing on the news about forcing them to have a street address when they get mailed in the reservations, when they all get their mail at the post office.
Right, that's in North Dakota.
Uh-huh, and that's just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So there's strategies like that, and we need to make voting accessible for everybody, regardless of if they're voting for what they're voting for,
because
that's the democratic process. Aside from that, and aside from politics, tomorrow Lions Club's doing a craft sale flea market from 10 till 2. And there's tables there if you want to set up and sell anything. That's tomorrow, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And just want to thank everybody that helps with food bank. Our next food bank will be the 17th of December. And we always need volunteers. It's just 2 hours. We run it from 10 till noon. And it's a great way to start the weekend. Everybody tells you thank you and all that. So, other than that, have a good weekend, everybody.
Okay, thank you, Susan, for your call.
So November 17th is our next food bank. All right.
Thank you. All right, bye. Okay, we have another caller waiting from Antioch. Dave, welcome to Talkline, Dave.
Yeah, hi there. This is Dave Cannon, and I am a fish biologist here in Antioch. And I'm calling in regards to the ballot measure one. And in particular, I read an article in the Juneau Empire a week ago titled, it was an opinion letter, Ballot Measure 1 Hurts Rural Residents and Rural Communities. And it was written by Anthony Mallett, who's president and CEO of Sea Alaska. And it says it was penned on behalf of other co-signatures, people like Andrew Guy with Chalista, and on and on. And here's kind of what it said. It says supporters of ballot measure one are aggressively pushing a measure whose impacts they do not appear to understand or appreciate. And it says passage of this measure would create immediate and lasting negative harm to vital infrastructure projects related to health and public safety. And that's just simply not the case. That's a scare tactic. It says, moreover, the passage of the measure could impact our people's ability to access the lands and waters our people have subsisted off of generations. And again, this ballot measure strictly deals with protecting fish habitat. It would not restrict people the way this says it does. And then it says ballot measure one isn't going to better protect Alaska salmon. And that is so untrue. The whole intent here is to protect the future habitat so there are adequate fish numbers coming back. So when they say ballot measure one isn't going to protect salmon, they don't appear to understand or appreciate, say, the impacts from projects like Pebble, the Chewitna coal mine, where 13 miles of salmon stream would be totally, totally torn up, dug down several hundred feet to bedrock, or the Watonna Dam project that's been proposed for the Susitna River. And all those projects, if they were to occur, they would just send Alaska down the same path as everywhere else that has lost so many of fish populations. And that's why 58 scientists and managers signed a letter of support for ballot measure number one. And, you know, I heard on a debate here just the other day where one of the candidates said how ballot measure one, if passed, could lead to permits for fishing here in the Kuskokwim. And that is definitely not the case. The permits that are mentioned in the ballot measure specifically have to do with things like construction projects, activities that are directly going to impact salmon habitat. So I hope people do read the ballot measure as it's in those pamphlets that were sent out to all the voters and think real hard about the importance of protecting salmon habitat.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling and providing that clarification. There is a lot of mythology going on with this particular ballot measure, and it's good to get some clarification.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Okay, next we have Billy from Bethel. Good morning, Billy. Welcome to Talkline.
Yes, good morning, and thanks for sitting there.
Thank you for thanking me on that. You're welcome.
Yes, and I would like to thank Susan for addressing that subsistence lifestyle is way important than money here in our region. That's it. Good morning. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Next, we have a Willie Keppel from Quinnahawk. Good morning, Willie.
Yeah, good morning. Say, I thought that debate the other night between Darren Deacon and Tiffany Zolkowski was real interesting. I come up with a few points out of it, and one of them is Tiffany wants to take PFD monies, and she supports Begich and his taxation plan.
What do you mean, take PFD monies? What do you mean?
Well, she already did. She's voted to take part of what you already got. She was there this last year to look at the state
record. Oh, I see. Okay.
See what I'm saying? And she plans on doing it again because she's hoping Begich gets elected and the Democrat plan flies through. Now, she can't seem to, apparently she didn't know when the question was asked, where would you support funding cuts? But yet at the same time, she told you she went to 4 years of college for a bachelor's outside, 2 more years for a master's outside. And I'm going, wait a minute, you want to represent us. You're talking about taking our money. Yet you don't even support the universities in the state. Maybe we should take a look at privatizing some of that university instead of just being a huge employment agency. I didn't grasp how someone that says they're so Alaskan, they want to represent us, she doesn't subsist by her own admission off the land.
I'm going to cut in. Because I don't really think personal attacks are going to be useful. I think it's better to talk everyone about policy and positions that people take and not go after people sort of in a personal way. And so we're going to go ahead and drop that call. And Willie's welcome to call back if he wants to focus on the particular issues that he may agree or disagree with. And we'll go from there. So we have Mark from Bethel. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. For everybody who has been anxiously ill, for everybody who is disappointed that they weren't here, and then when we found out they were coming, has been anxiously awaiting their arrival, This morning, the city clerk's office received the cool voting stickers. So the ones that have got a walrus on a snow machine.
Oh, my gosh, I want one.
They are over the, well, you have to go vote at the city office today and maybe on Monday. They're early voting stickers.
Okay, I got to do it.
So they're over there. So anybody who has been, I guess the term covet is permissible in this case.
Uh-huh.
Anybody who's been coveting one of those stickers, go over and vote over at the city clerk's office.
Okay.
So that's the cool news.
And did you get one, Mark?
I haven't. No, but I think I did my part trying to get him here.
Thank you for that.
And maybe I'll go over and vote before election day or not. I don't know. I think anybody who's voting for their first time, any young people that have never voted before but are registered to vote, go vote early. Same ballot as you'll see on Tuesday, and you'll get a cool sticker, and it'll be something you can pin to the wall and say, yep, that's the first time I voted. I'd really like to see a bunch of young first-time voters going mm-hmm. over there and getting those. But anyways, just a couple of other things. I'm really kind of bothered because this might be the second time I've sort of agreed with something Willie Keppel has said. He was, for the most part, he was quoting what got said during that debate.
Yeah.
He was not making anything up out of whole cloth. He was quoting it. He maybe could have been doing it a little nicer way, but mm-hmm. he was quoting what was said. I listened to the debate also. Thank you to KYK News for putting it on. I think it was a really important public service mm-hmm. With that. And personally, I think Darren Deacon did a pretty good job. He sounded very knowledgeable of our regional issues, and I just think he acquitted himself well. There's never been such a thing as a radical rural Republican. Rural Alaska has done well in the past with Republican representation. John Sackett, who Sackett Hall is named after, was a Republican senator. John Binkley was a Republican senator. And Darren said that, as I think Tiffany also said, that they would consider being in whatever caucus gets put together for the majority, which has traditionally been how rural representatives have done it. But having known him quite well, known Richard Foster, listening to Darren, he kind of reminds me of Richard Foster, for what that's worth to folks that are thinking about the representative election that is coming up. And nothing against Tiffany, but I just kind of liked what I heard from Darren there. So anyways, if you're a first-time voter, go over and early vote. It's not early voting per se. It's still absentee mail-in voting. However, we were able to get the division elections to send stickers here to Bethel and to Upiavik and Prudhoe and Unalaska and a couple of other rural locations. So the stickers are really cool. If you haven't seen them, go on the divisional elections website and go vote today or maybe Monday and get one.
Okay. Well, thank
All
you
right.
for that,
you
Mark.
All right. Okay.
All right. Next, we have Shaddy from the Fitness Center. Welcome to the talk line, Shaddy. Haven't heard from you in a long time.
How are we doing, guys?
Fine. Are you still fit?
Pardon?
We haven't heard from you in a long time. Have you not had more? I've been on a hiatus. Have you?
Oh, that's why.
Okay. So what's going on over there?
Yeah, so all of our programs started this week. So if anybody is thinking about registering for a class, instructional, aquatic, or group fitness, now is the time. So if those classes don't fill, if we don't get our registration numbers a week from today, we'll cancel those classes. So if anybody is thinking about joining a class, thinking about putting the kiddos in a swim class, now is the time, the next week. And we're really looking to run all those programs, fill all those classes. If anybody needs any additional information, you can visit us on our Facebook at the UConn Cusquam Fitness Center. If you type that in Facebook, you'll find us. You can visit our website at ykfitness.org, or, of course, you can come over to the facility and talk to us. You can ask to speak to a manager, or you can speak to any of our front desk staff, and they'll be able to tell you about all of our programs.
Okay, great.
Additionally, our big Halloween event is tomorrow.
Oh.
So our Halloween-iversary is what we're calling it. Starts tomorrow at 4 p.m. So games and activities will run from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. We'll have a costume parade at 5:25, and then we'll have our annual spooky swim at 6:30 p.m.
What is a spooky swim?
Spooky swim, I'm glad you asked. The spooky swim is when we turn the lights down a little bit, put some glow sticks in the pool, and play some Halloween music, and it's a good time in the pool for the kiddos. They really enjoy it.
That's really great. Okay.
And then one last thing. Uh-huh. If a woman named Henrietta is listening, we are looking for her face painting services. So a woman named Henrietta helped us with face painting one time at one of our events, and she was incredible, and we didn't get contact information. So if Henrietta, if you're listening, give us a call at the facility. We'd love to have you face paint tomorrow. Our phone number is 543-0390.
Oh, okay. I think she's the ONC receptionist. Yeah.
Really?
Over at ONC. Yeah. So call there and see if you can reach her. If that's the one. Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Come on over to the Halloween event tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Okay.
All right.
I could jump into the pool and make it extra spooky, but I won't do that. All right. So Danny Nelson is next from Bethel. Good morning, Danny. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Diane. I just wanted to share some information that I learned yesterday about elections when Lori Strickler, the city clerk, came and talked at the college.
Okay.
Which I think it's useful information for KUC students, but I think it could be useful to other people in town, too. And that is, if you're registered to vote anywhere in District 38, not just in Bethel, but like let's say you're from the village and it's in District 38, then you can vote in Bethel on a question ballot and your vote will qualify. So, I thought was useful information.
It is.
And like most of the villages on the lower Kuskokwim are in District 38. So, and I know a lot of people maybe are living in Bethel temporarily and might be registered in the village. So they should be encouraged to go vote on Tuesday.
Okay, thank you, Danny.
And have a nice weekend.
Yeah, you too. All right. Okay, good. So Andrea Sanders from the First Alaskans Institute is on the line. Good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi, Wilka. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, so First Alaskans Institute just hosted our annual Elders and Youth Conference a couple of weeks ago. And we announced a youth voter turnout challenge. I wanted to share a little bit of information. Mm-hmm. Since there's been so much discussion about this election, we also wanted to help get out the vote. And so this is a challenge to youth 17 and under. Schools and student groups are eligible to apply. And they can think creatively about ways to get out the vote in their villages and communities. And the community or district that has the highest percentage increase from the 2016 election will be eligible to receive a $10,000 prize, first place, and second place is $5,000, and that will be coming from First Alaskans Institute.
Wow, and that goes that goes to the community to spend however they want?
It goes to the school or the youth group, and it can't go to any individuals, but it can go towards a school or youth group, and they can use it for purchasing recreational equipment or activities, whatever they want to do with the funds. As long as it doesn't go to any one individual or individuals.
Okay, gotcha.
And I'll just say it's a nonpartisan effort. It's just to really make sure that everyone across our regions and in our small villages as well are feeling motivated and getting involved, and that our youth and our young people know that even though they might not be eligible to vote yet, that they should still be civically engaged and paying attention to the issues, because, you know, one day they will inherit this world, and we want to make sure that they know how to exercise their leadership.
Yes, yeah. Okay, good. That's a great project.
Yes, yeah, so the information is on First Alaskans Institute website and our Facebook, and I can also email that to the KYUK station.
Yeah, email it to our station. We'll put it on our webpage.
Okay, Goyana.
Goyana, thank you. Have a good day. Next, we have Yvonne from Yvonne Waska. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning.
Oh, Yvonne, I'm sorry. Yes.
Tuned in now late, but I got Dave out of Vaniac. I thank him for clarifying Proposition 1.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, my people on the Kuskokwim. I'm going to give you a reality check that mine opened up. There's going to be a tailings pond. Yep. Simply put, that's poison. And that mining company is going to leave it there. Plus, they're going to have that cyanide port. Another poison.
Mm-hmm.
And water discharge. Barge traffic. Wake up, my people. Get out and vote. Another thing, it clarifies the $30 million the opposition put in for Trilaniers to vote no on it. And by voting, we're going to have tougher laws on our spawning salmon fishing grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they know and I know a spill will happen, an accident. And they're going to be responsible to clean it up, and they're going to pay for it.
Mm.
And simply put, that poison they're going to leave up there, that cyanide port, maybe they could put it, bring it back to Canada now, if we toughen up the laws. Better yet, maybe they could put it in that Jalista parking lot and the Dalin Gold parking lot, and that's where they could store it, along with that cyanide port. For me and my people, we're highly dependent on the Kuskokwim for food. You're putting our food source in jeopardy. Period. And in closing, our wildlife, our salmon, have no say. For millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Through our mom and dad, through generation, this has been passed down. Our culture, our self-identity, and our way of life, it has been passed down. We are the caretakers of this land and waters. And this answers the question I have in my mind. Why our fathers and our forefathers, how come they never start gold mining?
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that the salmon that comes every year, it sustains us through life. And our children and our grandchildren, they have no say. We're it. So please join me in voting yes. Good morning.
Okay, good morning. Wow, you could really hear the depth of meaning that this has for Yvonne. Thank you, Yvonne, for calling and sharing. Next, we have Sophia from Chulalongkorn. Sophia? Good morning. You're on the air. I messed up the pronunciation of your village. I'm sorry.
It's okay. First of all, we talk about anything, right?
Yes.
First of all, I was at AFN Elders and Youth Conference, and the theme they had was past, present, and future.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good theme that they chose. And first of all, I would like to thank our Creator for giving us food and everything that we have today, our subsistence way of life and food from the land and river. And then second, you know, in the past, my first teachers were my late parents. They were the first ones that teach us how to talk and how this and that of life is. And my second teachers was when I first went to school at the age of 7, I didn't know one word of English. The very first word of English I learned was yes and no. That's the two English words that I learned when I first went to school. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes?
Our past teachers, as we are growing up, our past teachers were our elders. And when they start having the traditional council chiefs in the villages, those are the peoples that I learn from as I'm going along. I would, you know, in the past, in that theme they had at AFN, I thought about old Chief Eddie Hoffman, the traditional council, village traditional council, and Joe Lomac, John, Paul John, all the past traditional chiefs. They are the teachers that I learned from. They didn't have no dictionary to look at the way they taught us how to live our lives as we're going on. I also thought about Katie John, late Katie John, when she was fighting over her subsistence food. She didn't have education, but she sure knew what she was talking about. You know, a lot of our elders in the past didn't know how to read and write, but they had a heart of gold that they teach us of what we know today. You know, they didn't have no dictionary to look up what they're talking about or what they're going to teach us. It came from their heart because they wanted us to learn everything, our way of life. Present, before I go on, I would like to thank all those elders that have now gone and not here with us, but they left us their wisdom to keep on going. Present today, you know, it was good to see a lot of younger generation performing in that AFN at the Youth Elders Conference. Mm-hmm. It made my body tingle to see to see these younger generation presenting what they were taught to hold at the youth.
Sophia,
youth conference.
Were you one of the elders there, Sophia?
Yes.
Oh, that's so great that you got to go.
Yes. Uh-huh. You know, these younger generation, they too grow up just like us. They have memories of when they first come to this world and to see what it is to live, you know, all of us, regardless of who we are, where we come from. We all remember the opening of our future. You and I, we grew up. And we still remember our very first whatever we saw. You know, a lot of people talk about gold mine, this and that. My question is for present today to see our young people go to jail, go to prison. Mm. And all these kids that go to foster homes and have some bad memories of how they were treated in a foster home, you know?
Yeah.
Let's some way, somehow work together to help these people, young people. They're looking for help by getting into trouble and not talking about the hurt that they grow up in. And when they start drinking, it come out. And that's why a lot of our people are going to prison and jail. These are the things that we should look into sometime. Maybe some way, somehow. Even they don't listen when we talk to our younger generation, our friends. Maybe some way, somehow, in the future, when they get into trouble, they'll remember what that person tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking to see these young men and women going to jail or prison of the hurt that they carry and only come out when they're drinking. Mm-hmm. Those are the things someone is looking for, asking for help, and we ignore them. And in the future, let's work together to teach our younger generation about life. Because even though they're young, they remember what they heard, what they see. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking for your help to help these people, young people that need help, and asking for help by getting into prison or jail. Mm-hmm. I thank you for listening, and I very much thank you, those people that came on to you yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Since, you know, and the late Senator Ted Stevens, when I first went to AFN how many years ago, mm-hmm. I never forgot what he said. Of all the people that was in the Egan Center, it was full. He was talking, and towards the end he said, it's up to you people to make the decisions for your future and to get what you want to get. You know, there's...
Okay, yes. We're gonna. Our show is kind of coming down to the last minute. So,
okay. Yeah. Thank you for listening to me, and thank you for everything being there, and thank you all, and I love you all.
Oh, Sophia, thank you so much for calling. That was wonderful to hear from her. We're gonna try to get the last couple of calls in real quick. There's Joe from Bethel. Welcome to Talk Line. There's just a few minutes left.
Yeah. Good morning. This is Joe Moses.
Hey, Joe.
Pretty interesting show, people, regarding and questioning the ballots, both ballot measures. You've got Stand Against Salmon and Ballot Measure 1. If you don't know what you're voting on, I would ask questions or get a copy of the ballot measure. Read it carefully before you vote.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it comes down to one thing, and it's always been in the way of everything we do, and it's called politics. You know, this issue with politics, power, and money, people trying to... get you to vote and sway your vote to get what they want. It doesn't work that way, but I would suggest to all the voters, if you don't know what you're voting on, get a copy of the ballot measure, read it, and then vote.
Okay, good.
I think that's very important because, you know, like there were some people confused about what's on the ballot measure, and the people that call in the did their best to explain, you know, make sense to a certain point.
Okay.
And one quick comment. This is the first time that I've ever gone to AFN. And I don't know if it was the second to the last day or the last day, there was some delegate that stood up against the chair or co-chairman and asked her the question regarding these resolutions that they vote on. What happens to them and where did they go and why don't we get a feedback on them? I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
To hear someone stand up and question when we vote on these resolutions. But what's the results? We never hear back from nobody. And, you know, we're voting on something that you ask us to vote on and give us, get our opinion on, but nobody tells us what the end result is.
Yeah. So I think all election results are fairly well publicized. The outcomes.
According to that lady, which is a delegate, which she was, I'm sure, a member of a company corporation or one of the Native corporations, you know, that she made a good point. And I, you know, if I was one of those delegates, I would have probably said the same thing. And to me, it made no sense to vote on all those resolutions and then not knowing what the outcome of each resolution is after it's voted by the delegates of the convention.
Oh, you mean AFN?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant something else. Okay.
No,
right. Oh, that okay. They, I wonder if those get posted somewhere, and it's probably it might be hard to find. You're right. I got gotcha.
It was surprising to hear a lady actually confront the chairman or co-chairman during this voting on the floor. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that is. All right.
So well, anyway, have a happy Friday and God bless everyone.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for your call. Dan Olick from Kuitluk is on the line. Good morning, Dan. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning.
Yes?
I would like to, talk to the grandparents and the mother, because the lakes are kind of freezing over and still very thin, and kids like to play on the ice. But it's still very dangerous out there.
Mm.
I think cold front is still coming in, and aware boaters should be aware of that. That if they want to go shopping, they go down early and shop, and not wait for like late hours, because it's pretty dangerous out there.
Mm.
And there's people manuping out there, and they should have some kind of light, you know, if a boat is coming, make sure that they have some kind of signal. And also people are doing last-minute hunting and let someone know that where they're going when they're coming back. And one other thing that I want to help out a little bit with Gashigaluk Search and Rescue, I think they're fighting for time right now, and they need a donation. Doesn't have to be money, but food and other stuff. But right now, that lake that they are searching doesn't have no current, so they're fighting for time right now. But I would encourage other, you know, non-profit corporations like Kuitluk or ACAC or AVCP donate gas or some grub for the searchers. If you're out there with them, it's pretty cold. You're away from the village and your comfort of your home. But thank Gashigaluk for... they didn't ask me to speak for them, but looking at them, I know how it is to be grabbing for money, I mean, for gas, scrouting for gas for the searchers. But... I wish that even Crowley and AVCP and villages that are listening to help out on that church. Can I translate that little in Yupik?
We have like 60 seconds.
Yeah, okay. It'll be
Thank you.
Okay. Well, everyone, I don't know if we even have a minute for an email or Grady, what do you think? Should I read it? Okay, I'm going to read it. This is from ONC. ONC would like to inform everyone that we support the Stand for Salmon initiative and support our employees and tribal members in voting yes on ballot measure one. We feel it is very important that fish habitat laws be updated and that Alaskans have a voice in any development projects that could harm our subsistence resources. We would also like to clarify that the Stand for Salmon initiative has nothing, they put that in all caps, to do with fisheries management, and therefore, fishers on the Delta should not be concerned about being more restricted as a result of this ballot measure. We hope you all exercise your right to vote. Guiana, this is from ONC Business Office. All right, and that is the end of our show. Talk to you all next week, where we'll have ballot results and we'll know who our new governor is and ballot measures and new congressperson. Yes, have a wonderful weekend, everyone, and be safe. It's